Amen. Thank you so much. And we stand in awe of what God is doing in our church, especially in the context of missions, how the Lord has blessed our faith promise giving. And we're continuing to look to take on more missionaries and to partner together with them as they answer the call of God upon their lives. And tonight, I'm thankful to introduce to you Becca Joseph, who has answered the call of God to go to Honduras. And she'll be telling you much more about that. She is serving under Medical Missions Outreach, a missions organization that we support already. Brother Bradley Edmondson, we support he and his wife and family, and thankful for what God is doing. I hope you cherish and love and value those prayer letters that we get when they have those clinics around the world in these different countries, and the medical services that they offer. And then they offer them the most important message. That's the gospel message and how God is changing lives. And I really appreciate Ms. Becca and her answering the call of God as a single missionary lady. Sometimes you don't see that as much for various reasons, perhaps. One may be because churches sometimes don't have the vision, because I do believe that God is calling single missionary ladies to the mission field. And not to plant churches, I don't believe that. Not to pastor churches, I don't believe that. But I do believe that they call them to assist church planting. And even in organizations like this that are on the field that are helping people come to Christ, and they are support the local churches in the area, and God uses it. And I'm thankful. So, Ms. Becca, you come, and thank you for being here. You introduce yourself, and I believe you have a video to show as well. Thank you so much for being here.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to share what the Lord has been doing in my life. Again, I'm Becca Joseph. I was born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida. I am a Floridian. And I was raised in a Christian home and homeschooled all the way up, for those who might be homeschooled. I love homeschooling. It's great. I will let them show the video, and then I will go more into detail about how God brought me into medical missions.
Amen. Amen. I was injured while working several months ago. The pain is getting worse and worse, but I had to do my job. On the way to work this morning, I passed a sign on the road about a medical clinic. Would this free clinic have anyone who could help me with this pain? Can I be healed? Is there a healer?
My son has been sick for days, and seeing him suffer is unbearable. I need help. I saw the church in town hosting a free clinic this week. Would they be able to figure out what's wrong? Would their medicine work? I have to try. Is there a healer?
My eyesight has been getting so much worse lately. It's getting harder to drive. If I lose my job as a taxi driver, I don't know how can I support my family. I saw that a church nearby is having a free optical clinic this week. I wonder if they have some new glasses that will work for me and help me keep my job. I wonder, is there a healer?
Hurting people have always flocked to Jesus. They came in droves to see him, to beg for healing, praying for a miracle. And when they went on their way, bodies mended and souls transformed, their lips sang with praise, "There is a healer." This is the beautiful ministry of Medical Missions Outreach. We partner with local pastors and missionaries in developing nations all over the world to minister to people who do not have access to quality health care. Pain and suffering bring thousands to a place where we have a chance to show them love by offering compassionate care. Then, a volunteer from that local church will share the message of the gospel with each patient, providing the spiritual care that he needs most desperately.
Hello, this is Missionary Pastor Jerry Wyatt here in Morogoro, Tanzania. As we seek to reach our community for the cause of Christ, we've been able to partner with Medical Missions Outreach, and they've been a tremendous blessing and a tool to draw people to Christ. They're able to come to our church and see their physical needs met, but more importantly, reaching them with the gospel. We've seen many, many hundreds of people trust Christ through these outreaches. many that have been baptized, that have joined the church. I think of one gentleman in particular that trusted Christ the very first outreach and has helped out every single one since. We want to thank Medical Missions Outreach for the tremendous blessing they've been to us. Our church people love being able to invite family and friends using this tool of medical missions to reach them for the cause of Christ.
Last year alone, over 18,000 patients in 11 countries received physical care from our teams of volunteers. Consultations, physicals, eye exams, dental work, even surgical procedures were all done completely free of charge for the people who came to our clinics. After receiving the care they needed, each patient then heard the beautiful message of the gospel in their heart language from a member of the host church. 2,487 of these made a decision to trust the great physician with their spiritual healing as well, receiving him as their personal savior.
My name is Becca Joseph, and God has called me to serve with Medical Missions Outreach by ministering to patients at the Rurik Surgical Center in El Progreso, Honduras. Over the past few years, God used the short-term mission trips I have taken with MMO and my home church, West Jacksonville Baptist Church, to show me how to use my skills as a registered nurse to serve Him full-time on the missions field. I have a passion for ministering to those waiting for life-changing surgical procedures that they have little hope of receiving on their own. Meeting my patients' physical needs opens so many doors for the gospel to be shared with both them and their entire families, offering them the spiritual healing they need as well. MMO Surgical Center functions as a ministry of local church Iglesia Bautista Alfaro, where I will be an active member serving alongside the missionary team that has been in Honduras since 2005. My role will also involve assisting Dr. Jason Frazier, the surgical center's medical director, to provide pre-op and post-op care, post-visiting surgical teams, maintain the surgical facility, and share the gospel every chance we get. My prayer is to see many of my patients find both healing and a spiritual home on the other side of their suffering. I need you to lock arms with me, whether it be volunteering on a trip to Honduras, funding a special project, financially supporting me, or praying for me faithfully. I need you. I have witnessed the power of God on display through this ministry, and He has called me to walk away from my full-time career as a nurse to serve with this ministry full-time. Please, I am asking you to partner with me so that we can show the world there is a healer.
To learn more and find out how you can get involved, go to medical-outreach.com. Medical Missions Outreach, pointing others to the great physician.
All right, so that gives a little bit about what Medical Missions Outreach is, which we already know about it. So I was raised in a Christian home. At a young age, I remember talking with the lady down at the front. I remember getting baptized. But as I got older, I really doubted my salvation. And at the age of 15, I talked with my youth pastor, and I got that settled, and now I know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Amen. So ever since I was a little kid, most girls around here have a desire to one day go to college, possibly go to college, but get married and have a family. And that was my desire. And so I went to college. I went to Pensacola Christian College right off high school, and I was planning on being a nurse, maybe getting my MRS degree while I was at it, and then raising a family. And God said no. God, I failed out of nursing program right out of high school there. I didn't get my MRS degree, and I came back home to Jacksonville, Florida, where I started working in the local hospital where I'm at right now. I am. It took me about 5 years to finally get the courage to go back up to nursing school because I did not want to fail. But then God allowed me to build up the courage and got me into nursing school, and I've been a nurse for almost 7 years now. And He, through all that, has allowed me to grow in my medical knowledge. And I've always wanted to go on a medical missions trip. But for some reason, I didn't want to go until I got my nursing license. And about 4 years ago, I thought I was going to get married. And God said, no, He's not the right one. And so during that time, He said, Becca, why don't you go on a medical missions trip? It's what you've always wanted to do. I was like, okay. So that month, I looked into it, and I saw they were going to Honduras in just a couple of months. I was like, oh, perfect. It's the cheapest trip, and it's right on the corner, and I need something to get off my mind of what's going on. So I hop on the plane, single woman, not knowing anybody, not ever been out of the country by myself, get there. By the end of the trip, I knew everybody. So if you've ever been on a medical missions trip with MMO, I highly recommend it. I have made so many friends through it that we keep in touch. I'm actually staying with one of my friends from the trip right now. And so when we get over there, it's actually the surgical center was just being built. Like, there is a hole in the ground. They were just starting to build the surgical center. I thought to myself, how cool would it be to come over here and work at the surgical center? But I'm not a women's health nurse, and I don't do OR. And I'm the newbie. Like, they don't know me. So I had no clue how to go about possibly one day working at the surgical center. Then I met a friend there. And the next year, we decided to go back again. And this time, they had built the surgical center, and we ended up dedicating it that trip. And then I went back the next year. And my friend, one of my friends there said, Becca, why don't you come over here and work? When are you going to come over here? And I said, well, I just bought a house. I have two cats. And my mom just had a kidney transplant. She goes, don't you think that God can take care of all that? I'm like, you are correct. He can. And so that was 2 years ago. Last year, God really burdened my heart for full-time medical missions, but I had no clue what to do, where to go about it. And so I spoke with Becky Pope, who is with Medical Missions Outreach. She is a single nurse missionary there with them. And I said, Becky, how do I go about, what did you do? So she spoke with me, put me in touch with another missionary who has a clinic up in Boondocks, the mountains of Papua New Guinea, which I'd always wanted to do that kind of medicine. It was bush medicine. I was like, how cool would that be to go in the bush and do bush medicine? And so I was talking with my pastor and some other people, getting advice from them. And I talked to Bradley Edmondson, and he said, Becca, I'm not really so sure about this. This is kind of a little iffy. It's a little soon. But let's talk about what you mentioned about the Rurik Surgical Center. It's like, okay. He said, I don't think you need to, we can learn the medicine while you're there. You don't have to just, you'll learn it when you get there. I was like, okay, we would love to have you on our team. I'm like, really? You want me on your team? He said, yeah. He said, I'll let you pray about it, and then we'll go from there. I said, do I really have, does it sound bad if I know? Like, I don't really have to pray about it. I already know this is what God wants me to do. And from that point on, before that, I was crying constantly. I just felt burdened. I didn't know what this heavy burden was. And once I said yes to Honduras, that burden lifted. I never had such peace in my life. And then that was the beginning of last year. And then COVID hit. I'm like, Lord, really? You're finally giving me the desires of my heart, and now you're slowing it down with this virus? And so finally in July, I was able to meet with Bradley Edmondson and start working on my video and deputation. It's been really awesome seeing how God has worked even through this virus and putting people in my life through over the years through Pensacola, friends from Pensacola and other places I've been and met along the way that if I had not been in those circumstances, God might not have ever put those people in my life. And it's really exciting to see how God is using that for me to be able to get meetings and meet new people and share what God is doing in my life. So at the surgical center, we will be holding women's clinic. We'll be holding surgical teams as well. And that they told pretty much in the video about that. I'm really excited to get over there with Dr. Jason Frazier. He is the only one there right now, so they're not really holding women's clinic. So I'm praying to get there, Lord willing, by next August of 22. That is my goal, to get over there so that way I can start working with him. And I'm excited to get over there and see what God has for me. If you'll please pray for me. I am leaving my parents. I've never been that far away from them for that long. So it's something exciting for me. And learning a new language, because as you can tell, I barely know English. So learning another language, I'm a little nervous about. But I'm really excited to see what God has for us in store with Medical Missions Outreach and the Rurik Surgical Center. So if you'll pray for us, and if you ever want to go on a trip, we would love to have you. You could go there expecting to be a blessing to them, but in return, they are a blessing to you. And just pray about it, and please pray for me. Come by and talk to me afterwards. I would love to tell you more about it, and I hope to see you on a trip one day. Thank you so much.
John chapter 4, just want to give you just a quick thought here in the context of missions. Notice with me, John chapter 4, You'll remember the context here is that Jesus is busy about the work of the ministry and the disciples are trying to get Him to eat. In verse 31, as He is serving the Lord and the Lord Jesus is showing what a servant of the Lord ought to be doing, they tell Him, and in verse 31, Master, eat. But notice what He says in verse 32, but He said to them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. And notice what the Lord's going to give here, an object lesson, if you will. Verse 35, say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I want to read an excerpt here from a book written by Dr. Weiss on insights into Bible customs in the context of the harvest. Jesus was talking about the harvest here, and He's stressing to us the importance of the harvest and the responsibility for us going out to reap the harvest. And one of the things that He says here that we see very clearly even tonight, as you think about Honduras, I think about Mexico City. We met, the missions group met tonight down there in the room, and Brother Christian is helping coordinate that and lead that group. And he reminded us that in Mexico City, there are 22 million souls. One of the largest cities in the world. And we think about Mexico City and we're going there, and I think about Honduras and I think about all these other missionaries that we are supporting and that are all the different countries around the world. The harvest truly is plenteous. So what are we going to do about it is the question tonight. As a church, are we going to be sort of nominal about our approach? Are we going to be neutral in our approach? Are we going to be passionate about our approach? Are we going to be urgent about our approach? And I believe that as we think about the Lord of the harvest and as we think about the heart of our Savior, I believe that we must all agree with Scripture that we must be urgent in our approach and to be serious-minded. But listen to this illustration that Dr. Weiss gave entitled The Harvest. He said, grain has long been the principal source of the Palestinians' diet. Therefore, the safe harvesting and preservation of grain is a matter of great consequence to them. No wonder Bible writers often use symbolic language relating to harvesting and harvest time. Almost nothing else would have been more readily understood by the people. So in John chapter 4, verse 35, where we just read, fields white already to harvest. Once the little fields of grain are fully ripened, it is of the utmost concern to the head of the family to reap and preserve the crop immediately, lest some catastrophe befall it. Deep urgency was therefore expressed in the words of Jesus, the fields are white, all ready to harvest. One grain is ripe, it must either be harvested or be lost. Often this is also true in relation to spiritual conditions in the world, for example, on certain mission fields. And so, church, I just want us to be reminded tonight, as we hear the words of our Savior Jesus Christ saying that lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white all ready to harvest. And we do not need to say that, as some would say, and the Lord Jesus reminded of not to say, say ye not.
that we have time. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. We see it tonight. We look to the Lord tonight, and we trust Him to help us, because our desire is the Lord's desire that there would be none that are lost. Would you say amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for our sister's presentation tonight. Lord, thank You for Miss Becca's surrender to Your will and to Your calling. Thank You for the courage that You've given her and the faith that You've given her. Thank You, Lord God, for the desires that You've given her. And Lord, we pray that she would be able to raise her support in a quick manner. And Lord, that she would just have Your power upon her as she travels around the nation. Lord, we do thank You for Honduras and the great need that is represented there. Thank You for this surgical center. We pray for Dr. Fraser and the team. We pray for all those involved. And Lord God, we are praying that You would raise up more laborers just like Ms. Becca. Even single ladies who feel the call of God on their lives to go and help in a ministry like this. Please give them confidence. Please give them encouragement. And Lord, that You are seeking to use Your servants. And so, Father, I pray that tonight as we close in prayer, that we would all be reminded that Jackson County is a harvest, and it's ready. It is white and ready. It is ripe for the picking. And there are people around us that are waiting for us to reach them with the gospel. Would You remind us of that, Lord? God, would You help us to take the gospel to them through gospel tracts, through invitations, through messages on social media, through our prayer ministry. Oh, God, through hospitality. Oh, Father, help us to grow in our burden and our urgency to see people saved. We can only do this, Holy Spirit, by Your empowering and Your help. And we ask this, trusting that You will work, oh Lord, in Christ's name. Would you stand with me?